You're listening to Comics with Kenobi.
It's issue number 74. We are one issue away from issue number 75, which means, I don't know, I guess we'll probably do a nice big giveaway for something when we hit issue 75. I don't know. Jeff, you got any toys y'all can take from you to give away? Wait, don't answer that question. Geek me all knowing boxes that stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before. Cause Ren looks hardcore and I don't want Sith running the galaxy. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Matt. We're also one issue away from being done with this show because we only have one issue to discuss this week.
I know, that's a rarity for us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And yet we'll somehow manage to make it an hour and a half long, I'm sure.
No, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. We're going to make it 4.5 hours long, just like we did back in the old days.
Very true.
No, I don't think we ever touched 4 hours. I think the longest we've ever done was almost 3 hours.
We had one 3 hour show. Yeah, that was it. But all we have this week to discuss is Darth Vader number 19, rather, which has a great cover. We'll talk about that. But what have we got news-wise?
Well, the top 100 best-selling comics for July have been revealed. Of course, these are taken from the direct market, which means only counting comic book shops. Some improvement for a lot of Star Wars titles, actually. We did actually have one title make the top 20, and that was Star Wars number 50. And then rounding out the top 100, and we'll have a fuller breakdown on the website. Actually, it should already be on the website by the time you're hearing this. But Star Wars number 51 came in at number 32. Darth Vader number 18 came in at number 34. Darth Vader Annual number 2 was number 35. I was very pleased to see that. Annuals don't typically score very high, and this one did score very high. And I think that's, you know, as you recall, you know, that story was really well done by Chuck Wendig. So that was a pleasant surprise to see. Thrawn number 6 was number 54. That came in a little higher than usual, and that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. Dr. Aphra number 22 came in at number 72. So, you know, about kind of where the title has been, landing every month. But that's actually a pretty good metric for Dr. Aphra, and indeed for any Star Wars comics title, even any comics title, actually. Lando, Double or Nothing, number 3, came in at number 83. Poe Dameron, number 29, came in at number 90. So that's a slight improvement for Poe Dameron. And I think, people are starting to realize, well, you know, I guess, you know, the series is coming to an end. So, might as well see what I've been missing.
Right, exactly, yeah. If I start buying it now, maybe they'll keep publishing it. Nope, doesn't work
exactly.
That way.
Exactly. Now, here's the great news, though. Diamond's tracking of the top 100 graphic novels. And again, this is based on total unit sales of products that were invoiced last month.
And that's not. This is not just comic shops, or is
no.
This is
just the direct market only. Okay. So these figures do not include digital sales. They do not include sales to bookstores,
Amazon,
gas stations,
like
wherever you buy your graphic novels.
And if you do buy your graphic novels at a gas station, I want to know which gas station, because I want to visit this gas station.
I bet they probably have a really vintage comic spinner rack too.
Yeah.
So. I would like to know this gas station as well, because that means we could probably buy that spinner rack off of the gas station for maybe $10.
Right.
As opposed to the $200 that the new ones are being sold for. But anyway, Dr. Aphra Volume 3, the remastered trade, came in at number 4. That is
wow.
A really, really good showing.
Wow.
And I think that is a testament to the popularity of Star Wars comics, particularly in collected trades. Because, you know, I know a lot of people... They are trade waiters. They don't buy the single issues like we do. They wait for the trades to come out, and that is a piece of the market, and that's how that goes. The other thing is, the digital comics actually do pretty well. If you look at the Comixology, top 20, 25 sales every week, there's almost always Star Wars comics in the top 10 there. So. Yeah, so people are definitely, there is a demand and there is a market for the comics, especially particularly the Star Wars comics. So that's good to see. So
well, it's interesting. It's we got to remember that those sales figures are a small chunk of the overall comics market because they are.
I mean, and the publishers seldom, if ever, release the sales figures for trades that are sold in bookstores, for example.
Right.
So you have to sort of you have to kind of like, you know, do the math yourself. I have found that the most reliable source of information about tracking comic book sales is the Comicron.com website, which is why every month when we publish this information, we tend to link back to Comicron, which has done the analysis and has been, you know, and has been doing the analysis of comic book sales for years. So, you know, if they have the numbers, they are pretty reliable. So, but anyway, you know, it was nice. It was a pleasant surprise. You know, obviously, you know, no top 10 titles, kind of understandable. I mean, there is a lot of competition, for these, for comic books. And it's not just other comics, you know, it's also TV shows, streaming apps, computer games, et cetera, et cetera.
When there's there's no movie on the horizon. So Star Wars is not at the forefront of the consciousness as well.
And it's fitting to note that of the top 10 comic sales in July, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them were new number ones.
Right.
Ranging from Cosmic Ghost Rider, which is just crazy nuts. If you're not reading, if you want something that just blows your mind and just makes you want to, you know, smack your head against the wall in sheer joy, you got to pick up Donny Cates writing Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Good, I'll check that out. I like the character.
It's Frank Castle, the Punisher, is now the Ghost Rider, and he's a herald. He's a herald of Galactus.
Oh wow! He's the new Silver Surfer, basically.
It is just nuts. It's crazy. So, and then, wow. Of course, there was Captain America number one by Ta-Nehisi Coates. You got the new Superman number one by Brian Michael Bendis. Catwoman number one by Joelle Jones. Oh, cannot recommend Catwoman enough. That series is going to be taking Selena Kyle to new heights, and it's going to change everything you know about Catwoman. And it is just lushly written, gorgeously illustrated. Everything about it is just superb. So go and get that. You know, it's a cape and cowl book, but it's a really well done cape and cowl book. So you know what else was a really well done book, Jeff?
Darth Vader number 19.
Oh yes, very much so.
Before we jump in, you were talking about it making the annual making a good showing on the sales figures and everything. This book has a lot more heat behind it than we might have even thought. I listened to a lot of Kevin Smith's podcasts.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if it was Hollywood Babylon. It was probably Fat Man on Batman, which is one that really focuses on like comic culture. But Mark Bernardin, his co-host on that show, it must have been that show, mentioned the Darth Vader series and mentioned how impressed he was with the series. And so Kevin was looking for new books to start reading. And so he was like, I'm going to have to check that one out. And so you get a mention on that kind of on one of his shows that has a lot of reach. That means you're making some headway. So it is getting noticed.
That is about the only positive thing about Poe Dameron ending is that, you know, it reduces the number of comics that Charles Soule is writing by one to about 472,000 every month. I'm just kidding, of course. but you know, it does free him up to focus more on the Darth Vader ongoing. And yeah, this book is Darth Vader. You know, it has been consistently month in, month out, very well done on all levels. And issue 19 was no exception at all. I mean, you know, from the wonderful, you know, cover homaging the original Star Wars movie poster, which, you know, and this, of course, was done by Giuseppe Camuncoli and I believe
Ilia Bonetti.
Yes. And it was, you know, it was, you know, and I like how they put on the cover art, you know, after Tom Young.
Yes.
Because you know, Tom did that original art. And yeah, it just really captures it nicely. And I, you know, wow. I mean, and even the variant cover was really good because, you know, it was a Galactic Icons variant by Rod Rice. And you know who it was?
No, who was it?
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh.
So,
really?
You know, I mean, yeah, this is one of the few cases where I was kind of like, I was at my comic shop. I was like, which one to buy? You know, goodness gracious. Oh, so I ended up buying both.
Of course you did. Yeah. You broke your rule, which you seem to break at least once a week.
It's more of a guideline.
Right.
And, yeah, and a very
hard and
sketchy,
fast rule. Yeah.
A very sketchy guideline at that.
So. Yeah, the only thing missing from this cover is Tarkin clinging to Vader's leg.
Oh man, that would have killed it. That would have been awesome.
And so this starts a new series. This is Fortress Vader, which we talked about last time.
Yeah, and this is going to be the big one, I think. I mean, you know, I know, you know, Charles Soule has been tweeting about this, you know, in the run up to it, you know, talking about, you know, how good it's going to be. And, you know, I think what we are in for, because I think this one's going to be a 6-issue arc, I believe, and not 5 issues. And I think what we are going to be seeing here is something that's going to be both exhilarating, exhausting, distressing, disheartening, and just still, it's going to be must read, you know, multiple times every time you get an issue. So I was very pleased with the start of this. I mean, from the get go. So again, written by Charles Soule. The layouts are by Giuseppe Camuncoli. The finishes by Daniela Orlandini. David Curiel does the colors, and man, David really does some great colors.
Yes,
that's true. Letters by VC's Joe Caramagna. Assistant editor Tom Groneman. Editor Mark Panicia. And
now let me ask you something before we dive in. And this may be something that we see often, and I just haven't noticed it before, but to have the artist and inks termed as layouts and finishes, is that common?
It's they're interchangeable.
Okay. I've never noticed it before, and I wasn't sure if it indicated something other than, you know, the typical division of duty.
No, it's much like the, you know, the artist and the inker.
Okay.
It really is. So and in this case, you know, it's the same. I think it all boils down to what words do you like.
Yeah, I was just curious. I was assuming that someone out there, much like myself, was as, you know, much of a troglodyte about it as me and didn't know. So, yeah, we open up on the birth of a Zabrak baby.
Yes, man.
He's almost cute.
He is almost cute. He's a little more than cute, I think, though. He's quite a cute little baby, don't you think?
Well, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, come on. Oh, yes.
And it's a girl. We got the medical droid telling us it's a girl. And the father says, can I hold her? And she says, of course, darling, she's yours. And then, of course, the next... I didn't even notice the first time I read through on the bottom of that panel, Vader's shadow showing up in the doorway.
Isn't that great? I mean, that's because that's so ominous. It's just, you know, and then he shows in, and that's where we get Eeth Koth. Who? Ooh. And just, you know, because, you know, his wife looks over. Mira looks over and is just like, wait, what? And that look on Eeth Koth's face. I mean, from the way the eyes are drawn to the way the lips are pursed and, you know, tightly with his teeth together, it's just, no, not now. The letters right there, not now.
And, you know, with the long hair, he kind of reminds me of a Klingon, especially in that shot.
He kind of does, actually.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing, yeah.
Which is funny that you say that, because, you know, in the preview for Poe Dameron number 30, there's a character that was in one of the first four pages that I put on our Twitter feed. Is that a Klingon, I see?
It might be. And, so, you know, and
perhaps Justin Bulger in his capacity over at Lucasfilm is trying to inflect more Star Trek into Star Wars, which I am all for.
Would be just like him. And he's trying to reason with Vader, whoever he is now, and which of course we know is not going to work, but he says, you don't need to do this. I'm not him anymore. I'm no threat to no one, and I'm not a threat to anyone. I'm just a priest now. The Church of the Ganthic Enlightenment, which sounds made up, which because it probably is, but he goes, I bring people peace, officiate weddings and funerals, that's all. And I love this inset of his fingers. He's doing something. And he's reminding Vader that whoever this guy is, they kicked him off the council. He has no loyalty to the Jedi. And he goes through all of this, and I can't tell if his wife is seeing what he's doing or if she's just trying to get to the baby. But Vader's one response is funerals.
That just nails it right there. Because, you know, here Eeth Koth is, yeah, like you said, you know, I bring people peace. I do the weddings and funerals, and that's all.
And, funerals.
Funerals. And then, of course, Eeth Koth, he reads the writing on the wall. And just, boom, we jump right into that action. You know, he shoves the medical droid at Vader, you know, blows a hole in the wall. Mira, run! You know, and then he pulls
his lightsaber to him from wherever it was. So this guy clearly is very strong in the Force and seems to be up to the task of taking Vader on, which is not something we've seen that often.
Oh, well, totally. And, of course, now, you know, you have to remember... Eeth Koth was a member of the Jedi High Council, you know, during the waning time of the Clone Wars. You know, so it's not like he is sort of, newbie or just, you know, somebody who was able to survive Order 66.
Right, and I love his line to Vader when he gets his saber. He says, "Let us pray."
Yeah, and you know what makes this even more fitting is Vader knows this guy. You may not remember this or not.
I don't. I'm not having trouble placing this character from anything else.
Eeth Koth was captured by General Grievous, and he was rescued by Adi Gallia, Obi-Wan, and Anakin at Sulukumai. So they have a history. So, you know, he knows. So, I mean.
Anakin knows him.
Yes.
But he doesn't know that Vader is Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he probably, again, knows his fighting style as well. And all of this, you know, Vader's.
And, you know, and of course, you know, you will know. I mean, if you go back and watch The Phantom Menace, you will see. You will see Eeth Koth as part of the Jedi High Council. Because he was there when Anakin was presented by Qui-Gon Jinn.
I'll have to go back and watch it again, I guess, now.
Damn. You know, this is
really good. By the way, this lightsaber duel is drawn is wonderful, because, you know, we talked about the fact that I have trouble following action sometimes because I'm a little simple. It's wonderfully laid out. Love the way that they've done this, and like, you know, we talked about everything about this art is firing on all cylinders. The layout, the inks, the colors, everything. And he's, you know, Vader is just saying fear, anger, resentment. I sense them in you. You have let yourself feel, Eeth Koth. It gives you power more than the Jedi would ever have allowed you. And he says, perhaps it's a Zabrak in me, or perhaps I now have something to lose. And then Vader, of course, says, whatever the cause, it's too late, and just throws him back. He is cold.
He is cold. He is cold. But, you know, Eeth Koth is right, because he now has something to lose, which is why he's fighting so fiercely, I think. And, of course, this is where we touch into some more of the Inquisitors. And
I know. And Vader sends him after the wife and kid.
Yeah.
They're there. And he's after the woman. He says, bring the infant. Bring me the child. And the woman, Lord Vader, irrelevant.
Yeah, that's cold. That's cold, you know. And people wonder if Anakin is still, you know, percolating somewhere within the shell of Darth Vader. And, yeah, you get lines like that, and you it's pretty obvious that he's not.
He's gone, yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm a husband. You know, Eeth Koth says, I'm a husband, a father, and to protect the ones I love, your doom. And again, we get this great, it's a two-page spread of, what is it, nine panels?
Yep, nine panels, three down, three across.
Their battle and one of the Inquisitors chasing the woman and child.
Chasing after Mira, so.
And I love it that the kid, he says, a child of a Jedi, let's see if you make any ripples in the Force, little one, and unfortunately, she seems to.
And that's a great way to do it. I mean, that's a perfect way for the Inquisitor, you know, for the sister to do that.
Yeah,
to find
it's great. And so that she finds him, you know, ready to board a ship, and I guess she's found her father. Mira has found her father, who's going to take them off planet, and the Inquisitor corners them and decides to let them go. Just please woman to woman, don't take her, don't take my child. Just go. And then the other Inquisitor shows up and says, oh, sister, what are you up to?
And then
let them go. When Vader finds out, he'll, what have you done? Done? Nothing's done.
And then we cut to Mira. My husband, he's still down there. I just left him. But, you know, her father's like, look, but you made it, Mira, and the child. And that's what matters. That's what he wanted. And then that line.
Come to mama.
Yeah,
these guys are cold. And that's the thing about this book, is it's no holds barred. And it's not so dark that it's unpleasant, but it's dark. It is like just the right kind of dark, and with just the right amount of like subversive humor that makes you not just feel like you're wallowing. And with that, with Come to Mama, the kid flies out the window into her hands, and the poor Mira, the mom, is powerless to stop.
She is, but my gosh, this line from the sister.
I know, because I mean, he says, why, I never should have doubted you, but why? She says, because she appealed to me woman to woman. Now she'll never trust another woman again, or more likely anyone. I took her baby, and I took her soul. These guys are not playing. They want everything.
And then, of course, you know, she's back up on the ship going, we got to go back, and the dad's like, look, no, we can't, you know, I mean, look, they took the baby. They wanted the baby for something. So, you know, there's hope, maybe. And then, of course, that line and that look on her face. But wanted her for what? And, you know, that's sort of open-ended, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what happens to this Zabrak here? This is, you know, and then, of course, you know, at the same time, the sister here not only has broken the trust, broken the soul of Mira, she has enabled Vader to to break Eeth Koth.
Right, because he says, I will save my family. He says, oh, do you think so? And turns, says, motions behind him. And they show up, and it says, mission accomplished. And she's holding the baby with one hand.
By the head, you know, supporting its neck. But just that line, though, mission accomplished, boss. And just, oh, no.
And I love the way the face changes between panel one and two there. It's on digital page 14. Chilling.
And Vader's line, you know, because then, you know, you cut to the next page and you see Eeth Koth dead on the ground, face down, you know, the lightsaber having, you know, pierced him completely through. And just, and then he says of the child, bring it to me.
Yeah. And of course, it's crying, and he just says, quiet. And the kid shuts up, but I can't tell with the eyes what's happened.
Well, you know, because did it quiet because of Vader's intonation, or did Vader use the Force to quiet it, or did maybe is the baby's picking up? Are the baby's midichlorians going nuts?
Right. So from there, we cut to Coruscant, and again, it just gets colder and colder. This poor kid, Vader's carrying it, but he's not even carrying it in his hand. He's just floating it in his hand above him, using the Force. And he comes to the Grand Inquisitor, and do we know who these two people are wearing the Kabuki masks?
Well, it's funny, you know, because I saw them and I thought maybe it was like, you know, because remember we saw creatures that were similar to them on Polis Massa in Return of the Jedi. You know, I don't think that's them. Charles Soule tweeted out, you know, that basically he just kind of called them in his script as he just called them the nursemaids. But, okay. You know, he went on to say that's not official. But man, it was creepy. Just super, super creepy.
Yeah, because no expression whatsoever.
I mean, they could be Polis Mossens. We could be, you know, I could be wrong, but they seem awfully tall to be Polis Mossens. You know, especially from what we saw in the Return of the Jedi or Revenge of the Sith. You know, they seem to be a lot shorter.
Well, and especially the look at the pretty thing is just creepy. And of course, Vader asks the Inquisitor, "What is the next target?" And he says, "We should talk." So they go inside, and they've got a list of Jedi that are still on the loose, or is it Jedi children?
No, these...
Jedi.
This has been translated, and this took some effort. This took some effort because this is reversed.
Right, I wondered who had done it.
But it's you know, a couple of people had done it. Of course, Canon Chronicler, whom you should be following on Twitter, he had a nice translation because he broke the Arabesh down. And I did my own translation of the Arabesh and double-checked his. But he got, you know, what we found was, or what he found, what I concur, is Yoda, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Oppo Rensisus, Selrak Iluos, which is Charles Soule backwards.
Nice.
And Kamun Koli.
Oh, so Giuseppe Kamun Koli.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. But, you know, he, and of course, you got to love Charles Soule's Twitter feed. he says that, you know, he says, you know, Darth Vader 19 also revealed two previously unknown Jedi survivor, Selrak Iluos and Kamun Koli. Oh, man. And I'm quoting, definitely the best Jedi of all time. Vader better pray he never finds those two. Which leads us to believe, obviously, that he's going to find those two and
dispatch, you know, him pretty quickly.
As much as, you know, Charles likes to say, you know, because he always says, you know, look, you know, he tries to make all the Jedi appearances in Vader be very meaningful and unique. You know, because each one is trying to keep the light of the Jedi Order alive, at least in their own way. Now, here's the thing. If they show up in a Charles Soule series, they're probably going to die. You know, we know Yoda and Obi-Wan make it to a certain level, or to a, you know, but only so far. But still, it's kind of cool to get these kind of things. And of course, that's what we find out. And of course, that's what the Grand Inquisitor has said. You know,
they need a Cerebro to find the Jedi because they're having trouble.
They do, and these are the names that they are certain about. You know, and as the Grand Inquisitor says, unfortunately, they have hidden themselves extremely well. So, and which is interesting is there's a little clue here on this page, you know, because, you know, Grand Inquisitor goes on to say, look, we know we're out there, but there have been no signs, no signals. For all intents and purposes, they have vanished. Jedi remain, but as of now, we have no way to find them. And then, of course, this is where Vader asks, well, what do you propose, Grand Inquisitor? We'll continue with Project Harvester, of course.
Creepy.
Beyond that, well, one of them is bound to slip up eventually. We just have to wait.
So we have to wait for them to mess up. Meantime, Project Harvester, which is, I'm assuming, has something to do with this Jedi baby.
That's what I'm thinking.
And so the next page, we get one of those other, another great interior, you know, Vader's interior monologue going.
Well, and yes, let's remember, you know, Project Harvester, it's, you know, that is, you know, they're trying to, that's how they look for Force Sensitives using Project Harvester to create more Inquisitors.
Right.
So, you know, it's, I guess it's linked to the, you know, to, gosh, it's, I know it's linked to Planet Arcanus. So, but, so that in and of itself should be no real surprise, but still nice seeing a lot of this stuff from Star Wars Rebels and the Clone Wars making an appearance.
Absolutely.
In the comics. Yeah. So, but yeah, this full page is great because, you know, this is essentially, you know, it's almost like a day in the life of Vader.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's in his chamber, his Bacta chamber or whatever. And we see him meditating and we see again, you know, how he, like his inner being, I suppose.
That is amazing. And I love it. And, you know, we got to look at the coloring of the way, you know, of Vader, you know, doing his force meditations here, because we see the swirling black and red and chaos and seething fury, you know, on his torso and his arms and his head. But then, you know, we also see those, the blue light, the blue.
But he's pushing it down.
Farther and farther.
Farther and
he's,
farther.
He is still, I would think, is arguably still in balance in a way. You know, but he's struggling with the light. Sound familiar?
Sounds very familiar.
Somebody you might know? I don't know.
I also like that we...
Solo?
Yeah, and I also like that we see him working on his chest plate, too.
That is neat. That is
cool.
And
battling with another droid. And then the next page, we're in, the mess hall or something, and we get a couple of Inquisitors talking, you know, to one less Jedi in the galaxy, one less Jedi, and they drink it. He says, "What is this stuff?" And the other one says, "It's called dust juice. Disgusting, but potent." And I love this. "We said we'd drink something local from everywhere we kill a Jedi. Believe it or not, this is the best that horrible planet has to offer." He says, "I hope the next Jedi's hiding out on Corellia or Alderaan. Those places actually know how to their way around a libation." I mean, dust juice. Brutal. And what is the species of this guy? Is he
I think he's a Twi'lek.
Twi'lek, yeah, okay. Just the dark skin is very imposing.
He is pitch.
Yeah.
He is ebony. You know, which, you know, it's a great pattern and great coloring. So,
yeah.
And, you know, and I like the little tattoo under his I guess what would be his left eye, but, or maybe that's a trick of the light, I don't know, but it's wow. Of course, you know, then of course, you know, we see Seventh Sister and Fifth Brother to the right, you know, which should be familiar to viewers of Star Wars Rebels. So, but and
they're
then
just hanging out in there. They're having a drink. Says, "You won't be too long until there won't be a next Jedi. We've gotten too good at our jobs. What do you suppose he'll do when they're all gone? What do you mean? You know, him. Oh, I don't know. I'm sure he'll keep himself busy. A guy like that, he'll always find someone to kill."
And he's talking while she's looking at Vader, who's come into the room, or at least his shadow has led into the room first.
Yeah, and that last page, he ignites his lightsaber and scares the crap out of both of them. Is he about to off one of them?
You know, with Vader, you never know.
Yeah, I'm hoping we'll find out next week, or next month, rather, when it comes out. Because I'll get him a note, he'll always find someone to kill, or maybe he has already. It's a weird ending, but I really dug this up, this issue.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and speaking of which, if you read this digitally and you have not updated this issue, go back and update this issue, because when it first dropped digitally, the last page was missing.
Oh, no.
So it just, you know, it just ended with "he'll always find someone to kill." So, which was not the case in the print edition. So just, you know, if you're on Comixology, then just sort of, you know, the update should come automatically, I think. So.
Well, yeah, just a tremendous issue. Tremendous start to this new story arc. I can't wait to see what happens next.
It was so good. It was so good. And of course, we won't be waiting long, you know, for more Star Wars goodness, because coming out this week, we got some real good ones. Some real good ones. We have the Star Wars Beckett one shot, which is looks like it's going to feature sort of like three different vignettes, if you will, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Look for that one for sure. It's got a non action figure cover by John Tyler Christopher, So that's going to be pretty cool. As well, it's got a great variant cover by Rachel and Terry Dodson. And then, of course, we have Poe Dameron number 30, which is the penultimate issue. After this one, we just got one more and it's done. Sad trombone.
Yeah.
Sad trombone. But, sad, you know, like trombone. I said, if this means that we're going to get some more of this level of writing in Darth Vader, it's a sacrifice I'm willing to live with.
Absolutely. And I'm sure they'll find a better use for another use for Poe Dameron as well. So That's going to do it for this this edition of Comics with Kenobi. But we will be back next week with more comics goodness. And we do have another issue of Young Padawans coming out later this week as well. So you'll have that to look forward to.
Yes, we looked at the Star Wars Adventures Free Comic Book Day issue as well as issues 10 and 11.
Awesome.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. So that will be out. And until next time, for Comics with Kenobi, I'm Matt. No, I'm Jeff. You're Matt.
I'll be you for a while. You be me and I'll be you.
You don't want to be me for a while, trust me.
It's like a replacement song.
Yeah. As I was saying, for Comics with Kenobi, I'm Jeff.
And I'm Matt. And
may the Force be with you.
Always.
Comics with Kenobi's theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.
Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy.
Bud, stop peeing!